Amen, amen. Let's lift up our voice unto the Lord tonight. Oh, lift up your voice. Lift up a sound unto God tonight. God, we can feel you moving in the house. Come on, that's it. Lift up a voice. Come on, let the Holy Ghost linger a little bit. God, we lift up our voice. God, we lift up a voice and exalt your name, Jesus. God, we exalt you, Jesus. He's worthy of every praise, every sound that can come from our lips. Amen. Anybody can feel him moving in the house tonight. Amen. Amen. There is a sweet presence of the Lord. There's a spirit of victory and uplifting. And tonight, I can't say that I've wrestled with God, but I have questioned him to the degree of trying to understand what he's doing in this body. There's something beneath the surface that's happening in New Life. And there's a sound that, if you listen carefully tonight, there's a sound that God is getting his people ready for battle. He's getting his people ready for increase. And I just believe tonight that God is going to continue to do great things in this church. Anybody believe that? I said God is going to continue to do great and mighty and marvelous things in this church. Somebody say my church. This is your church. This is your family. Amen. And God is doing something miraculous. And I'm only here to play a small part in that. And that is humbling to know. And in this atmosphere tonight, I believe that the Lord wants to speak to us specifically. This is not a casual sermon tonight. This is not an ordinary message of generalities, but I feel that the Lord wants to speak to New Life tonight. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us tonight. And I feel that if we respond, that is a contingent. If we respond, God is going to show up in a supernatural way tonight. God is going to show up in a supernatural way tonight. Anybody can feel the Holy Ghost right now? Anybody can feel the Spirit of God right now? Come on, one more time. Just lift up your voice. Lift up your voice to God. Come on, that's it. Come on, let something flow from your spirit. Let something, come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Let God begin to work the ground right now. God, we need you right now, Jesus. We need your presence, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Amen. So sad that this weekend revival is ending so quickly. Two services seem not long enough. But trust me, you are in good hands because your pastor can preach circles around me. And so if he preaches next week, you get to hear him preach. And whoever else comes after me, amen. God's going to continue to speak. Amen. But I'm humble tonight. Anybody ready for the word of the Lord tonight? Amen. Matthew 16 and 24. And Romans 12 and 1. Matthew 16 and 24. To all the visitors that are here tonight, amen. This church really appreciates you being here. Amen. You are what we are here for. We want to see this church grow. We want to see an expansion in God's kingdom. Amen. Let's give all the visitors a big hand clap. Thank you so much for coming. Amen. Amen. Matthew 16 and 24. When you have it, say amen. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him or her deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Romans 12 and 1, as quickly as you can. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice. Living for God isn't easy, but it is a reasonable service. Your body's a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Before tonight ends, I believe God is going to raise up a wave, a generation. There's something that's been planted here in Birmingham, and God is going to see to it that it will continue to go on no matter what. And the question that we have to answer tonight is if we are going to be a part of that, and I mean we as in you all, if you are going to be a part of that. Anybody want to be a part of God's church? Come on, anybody really want to, you want to say, this is where I want my children and my grandchildren. This is the edifice. This is the sanctuary. I want them to be a part of this church. Come on, if you feel that tonight, clap your hands and lift up your voice and thank God that there's a place. There's a place you can go, that there's a place that you can run, that there's a place you can hide. There's a provision of safety in this city. Amen. God is doing something great. Amen. I want to minister with the help of the Lord tonight. Amen. If you're going to help me preach, God bless you in the fear of the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. There was a young couple by the name of John and Mary. This young couple seemed to have what all families would want to have. They had a loving home. In fact, they had a nice home. John had a really good job. They were stable. They had two beautiful children, a boy and a girl. And John was a hardworking family man, great morals. He loved his family. John was a godly man. And the corporation in which John worked for sent him on an out-of-town business trip that would last a few days. And being that Mary worked at home taking care of the children, John felt that she needed some time off. So he decided that he would take his wife with him and give her a little vacation. And so John and Mary, they hired a babysitter to take care of their two lovely children while they were out of town. They left town. They went to the trip. They enjoyed the trip. And for some reason, they were missing their children. And John decided that they were going to end this business trip a little sooner than expected and return home a little earlier. As they were returning home from this trip, they turned near the neighborhood in which they lived in, and a few streets over, John noticed smoke coming, black, dark smoke coming from the area near where he lived. His curiosity got the best of him, and he said, I wonder what's going on over there. And he deviated from the road leading to his house, and John went a few streets over to see what this smoke meant. As they turned down a street, John and Mary noticed that there was a house that was on fire. And they got closer, and it did not look like a pretty situation. In fact, the whole house was in flames. And Mary looked at John, and she said, "Thank God it's not our house." She said, "I hope everybody's okay. I'm tired. Let's go home. That's not our house. Thank God it's not our house." But John was troubled by seeing this. He saw the fire, he saw the flames, and he looked and he recognized the house. The house was the home of one of his co-workers, Fred Jones, and Fred was still at work. And John wondered if there was anybody in the house. As he got closer and closer to the house, John looked out and he saw a woman screaming frantically, panic, with great fear. The children, somebody please help the children. And as she began to cry, she was so afraid, didn't know what to do. John, without thinking, slammed the car in park and began to jump out of the car. And Mary said, "John, what are you doing? It's not our house. Let's just go home." And John said, "I can't do that. Somebody has to get the children." So John ran to the side of the house. He grabbed the hold of the water hose and he doused his clothes with water. And John, without thinking, ran inside the house. He said, "Where are the children?" She said, "They're in the basement." And John began to make his way through the house. As he made his way through the house, he can barely see, but he made his way to the basement. He grabbed the hold of the door. He kicked the door down and there he found two children coughing, crying, scared for their life. John grabbed these two children and he ran as quickly as he could to get out of the house. As he was leaving the house, John happened to overhear, beyond the crackling of the fire, beyond the falling of shingles, he heard the whimper of what sounded like some more children. And so he took these two children to the lady. He said, "Are there any more children in the house?" And she said, "Yes, there's two more children. The house is falling to pieces now. It seems as if this house is almost burnt to smithereens." And John, yet he heard more children crying in the house. And his wife said, "John, don't go back in the house. The house is almost burnt to the ground, surely is suicide. John, don't go back in the house." But John yet again resisted the plea of his wife. John grabbed a hold of a handkerchief that he covered his face, and he can barely see, but he began to make his way into the house even further. He looked and he looked and he looked and he looked and could not find the children, and suddenly he heard a cry again. This faint voice of this little girl saying, "Help me, help me, help me." John found the children. The house is almost gone. John picks up the two children under his arms. He's praying to himself, hoping that there's no more kids left. And as John is grabbing a hold of these two children, John, as he's crawling hands and knees trying to get out of the house, he's coughing, he's choking, the children are choking. John recognized something very peculiar about the way that these children were clinging on to him. The way that they were grabbing on to his body, it felt very strange. In fact, it felt very familiar. John was wondering why these children, they felt so familiar. As he made his way out of the smoke, as he made his way out of the house, as he stumbled out to the porch, John looked down at the children. And it was that moment that he realized that the children he had just rescued were his very own children. The babysitter that they had hired had went to the store shopping and had left the children at Fred Jones's house. And John, that day, because of his selflessness, rescued his own family. There's something about that story that I think about John, and it made me think about Jesus. A young man, 33 years old, that didn't owe any man anything. He did not need to, if he did not want to, sacrifice what he sacrificed for this earth. But yet this man, beyond the pressing of his flesh, beyond the voices saying, you do not have to do this, Jesus despised the shame, endured the cross, and he died for every last one of us in this house. Jesus, despite the voice that says, do you know the pain you're going to have to endure? Do you know the whips, the beating, the lashing, the ripping of your garments, the persecution of the Pharisees? Do you understand the pain that you will have to go through? Surely it's suicide to lay down your life. But can I tell you that I'm so glad that there was a young man that endured the cross and he carried the heaviness of a wooden. There's something about Jesus that I said, God, I'm thankful that there was a God that says, I'll still die, I'll sacrifice and lay down my life for a friend. Oh, you ought to clap your hands and thank God for mercy. Oh, you ought to thank God that there was a God that said, I'll sacrifice that they might live. Oh, clap your hands just a little bit louder in the house. It was something about Jesus that in Isaiah 53 and 5, the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Can I tell you that everything that Jesus did, it was out of the selflessness of his love for you and I. Thank God that there was a God that he was not selfish, that he was not self-centered. And he said, I'm going to go in the face of death, and I will die for them. Jesus died for every last one of us. Despite the pain, despite the agony, Jesus died for us. I want to preach tonight just for a few moments, something that God has pressed on my spirit. I can't even tell you that when I laid down this afternoon that the Holy Ghost smote my soul. And God began to pour something in my spirit specifically for this church. And if you can hear me for a little while, we're going somewhere. If you can hear me for a little while, I'm telling you that God has something for every family in this room, for every man in this room, for every woman in this room. Because there's something about selflessness in the kingdom of God. I want to preach about or preach from this subject, there's no I in Jesus. There's no I in Jesus. Like John, like Jesus, there was a young man that had a call for ministry. There was a young man that had a burden for people. 33 years of age, coincidentally or orchestrated on purpose, moved away from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and came to a place that was desolate of revival. Came to a place where there was a cry for rescue that came from this city. There was a young man that despite the prodding of people that probably felt that he would be better served somewhere else, that he would do so much better, the potential of ministry was so much greater, the ceiling was so much higher if he had been somewhere else. But there was a young man that could not shake the undeniable pull of a cry for people in this city. Can I tell you that there was a young man by the name of Barry Sutton, with all due respect, A young man that said, despite what everyone else would say, there's a church that has to be built here. There's a church that has to be built here, and it's not just a church, but it's a place of rescue here. Can I tell the saints of New Life that if this city is going to be saved, that is why this church is here. If your family is going to be saved, that is why this church is here. I need you to hear me tonight. If your children and your grandchildren are going to be saved, that is why this church is here. Because there was a man in his spirit. He said, I'm going to be selfless and sacrifice everything and leave everything I know and say there has to be a church here. And in that you find that in order for the kingdom of God to proceed, that has to be selflessness. Because we live in a society of selfish people. Let the church say amen. We live in a social media society that we're aggrandized to our own self. Can I just preach for a little while? There's something in our nature. You don't have to look very far, but we care about ourselves. We care about our provision. We care about our well-being. It's me, myself, and I. And as long as I'm okay, as long as my family's okay, then everything's all right. But can I tell you that Jesus did not have that mentality? That was not a part of his mission statement. He looked past himself. He looked past himself, and he saw somebody else. He said, I cannot be selfish in this matter. There's a people. There's a cry. There's children. There's families. There's homes. There's lives. That must be saved. Because there is not an I in Jesus, but there is an I in selfish. There is an I in pride, and it's right in the middle. Because we have the tendency to see ourselves before we see others. But can I tell every saint on these pews tonight that God's been so good to you? Just in case you forgot, God's been so good to you. And I understand that you go through situations and peril, and life seems to be heavy as it pertains to your world. But there's some people in this city that have it way worse than you do. Anybody hear me? Appreciate you tonight. There's some families. I know that you got it rough in your family and you don't get along with your sister-in-law. And it seems like there's tension with you and your mother-in-law. But that's not the problem, because there's families that are way worse conditions. There's children that don't know their daddies. And there's mamas that don't have the husband at home. And there's families that are broken. And there's lives that are bruised. And there's a cry that's coming out of those homes. And there got to be people in this house that you don't care about what's going on in your world. But you will run in there. I know the house is burning, but guess what? There's a provision of safety. You got to get them here. 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 Is this all right tonight? You got to get them here because when we are selfless in the kingdom of God, we'll find out that when you begin to operate and you begin to reach others, I understand that we have backslidden family. Anybody got backslidden family? And you've been praying for them and you've been praying for them. But if you only concentrate on your circle, that's a selfish prayer. But don't negate and don't neglect the people that you walk next to in Walmart, because they need Jesus too. And they need the house too. And they need God too. Don't neglect them, because when you reach for them, God will pull your family.
You'll reap where you did not sow, and God will bless where you did not labor. When you reach for somebody else, when you say, I'll lay down my coat, I'll lay down my life, I'll give for the kingdom of God, God will save the city. Oh, lift up your voice and praise God in the house. God will save the city. God will save the children. God will save the house. God will save the earth. There's no I in Jesus. Somebody said, there's no I in Jesus. There's no I in Jesus. Everything about God, his mission statement was about others. It was never about him. Don't you think that if God wanted to stay in the proclivity of his own nature, that he could have sat on the throne and he could allow this earth to die and waste away and to go into eternal torment? But God said, no, 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 no. I'll go through the flames. I'll go through the fire. I'll go through the beating. I'll go through the pressing that you might have salvation. I don't know the story of what happened here. I don't even know what the pressings and what situations and what persecutions that your pastor and his family may have endured. But can I tell you that there is nothing that has been done here that was not a sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow after my pattern. Follow after my plan. Follow after the blueprint that I've set forth. And when Jesus, he made himself available to the cross, this is the plan that he wanted us to follow. He said, I had a cross, and you have to have a cross. And carrying your cross will not be easy. Can I just preach for a little while? I don't know if you've ever... If anybody in here has ever been into physical fitness, but most theologians will say that the cross that Jesus bore was at least 300 pounds in weight. Now, you may not can understand what that's like, but if anybody in here has ever been in a gym, I know Brother Sam's been in the gym. If you've ever been in a gym and you had 300 pounds on your back and you went to go for a full squat, the heaviness, the weight of that weight is so pressing, it is so heavy that in your mind you can't think about anything else but that weight. I need you to hear what I'm about to tell you. And what Jesus is telling them, that when you carry your cross, you don't have time to think about your own selfish desires. You got to keep a hold of the mission statement, because all the way up Calvary, Jesus was thinking about you, and Jesus was thinking about me, and he didn't have time to think about the weight of the cross. He said, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. I got to keep going. Can I tell you, you don't have time to take off a Sunday to come into church. You got to keep going, because your family's watching you, and your co-workers watching you, and if you quit, you have neglected the mission statement of the cross. Can I just keep preaching for a little while? There's no I in Jesus. There is an I in selfishness. There is an I in pride. It's right in the middle, and there is an I in sin. Because sin is self-centered. For all the folks that we want to do what we want to do, we want to live like we want to live, and we think that we're not hurting anybody. Can I talk to the parents for a little while? Listen, parents, it is your duty. It is a mandate from God that you must live for God in the church, at work, and in your home. Listen carefully. Because I've seen enough people make excuses and they bash young people and they say, how are they so wishy-washy in their faith? But you never know, because they may be seeing an example at home and they're taking a part-time carrying of the cross and they carry it when people can see and they lay it down at home. But you got to live for God and you got to drag your children to pray after dinner and you got to drag your children to read the word of God after dinner and say, this is how we live for God. This is how we sacrifice for God. This is how, because the children must be saved. People say it's not hurting anybody but me. I'm not hurting anybody. That's not the truth. There are homes that are broken up because a man didn't want to be faithful to his family. It hurt them too. But can I tell you that if this church is going to continue to grow, it's going to take family after family and home after home to follow after your man of God and the cross that he's been bearing and the cross that he's been carrying. You got to pick up your cross and say, I'm going to keep walking, that this church will live, that this church will grow. I'm going to make sure that when he's gone, there's another man that's going to step in and say, I'll keep carrying the cross. There's another family that's going to step in and say, I'll carry the cross. Are there any families in the house that you're going to say, this is my house, this is my church, this is my place? Oh, lift up your voice, lift up your hands. Oh, lift up your voice right now. Feel the Holy Ghost right now. You got to say, I got to make sure that we're in the house. This is not the time to leave the house. Get him in the ark. Get him in the ark. Get him in the ark. There's something in me right now. There's a son coming after me. There's a young man coming after me. And I got to make sure that every day that I walk, that he sees a man of God in the house, that he sees a man that'll treat his mama right, that he sees a man that'll treat people right. We don't have a right to shun people and push them in the corner. We need to love when the world hates. We need to reach when the world casts away. We need to be when the world is not. Everything about selfishness comes from the deceiver of the brethren himself. Do you understand why Lucifer was kicked out of heaven? Do you understand why that he was expelled from the presence of God? Isaiah 14 and 12. Oh, Lucifer, how art thou fallen? How art thou fallen? What brought you down to this place? What made you stoop down so low? What made you so weak that you were weak in the nations? What made you be who you are? I'll tell you what it was. It was a dose of vitamin I. Verse 14, verse 13. He said, listen, watch what he said. He said, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. He said, I. It was all about him. Can I talk to some young preachers, some young men right now? Listen, I understand that there is a thronging and a pushing for people. And they said that the pulpit is the apex of ministry. But if we can't sit down face to face with a broken man and a broken woman, we have no place preaching in the pulpit. Because pulpit has an eye too. And some people feel that if I can just get there, I would have been affirmed in ministry. If I can just get there, I've made a path, I've made a way. But that's not what the ministry is about. We are to be ambassadors of the earth. We are to be a witness to Jesus Christ. We are to be the children of God that carry out the plan of salvation in the earth. That means that my neighbor is my pulpit. That means that my coworker is my pulpit. And I got to stand face to face with them and say, I will not let you die. I cannot let you die. There's people right now, you've been praying and asking God that God will send your family back, and he will, but we have to get out of our comfort zones. We got to get out of our own realm, and there is a world that needs Jesus, but greater than that, there's a city right now that people are broken and they're hurting beyond belief, and this is the place where they should be. And there has to be something in us that we are selfless in our desire to let the people know that there is a God. There, I did not plan to say this tonight. But I know what I'm talking about when it comes to ignoring the people that are close to you. I won't go into the details. I won't make this a long, drawn-out story because I don't want to interrupt what God is wanting to do in this house. But there was a time in my life that I was not in a committed relationship with God, that I stepped out away from God, and I decided to turn my back on everything that looked like the church. I thought that I was on a path to do my thing, to do what I wanted to do, to have my own path, to have my own life. And when I felt the call to be a preacher, there was another call for me, that the lights of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life was pulling on me. At a young man, as a young age, I picked up the sport of baseball, and I began to play and began to play, and I began to run from my call to preach. And there was a growing of pride in my life. There was a growing of pride. If there's any glimmer of pride in my world now, I pray God will strike it down from my soul, because pride is a filthy sin. Pride comes before destruction. And while I was in this world of the sports arena, and I signed a college scholarship to play baseball, and I was trying and I was working to do what I wanted to do. And when you engulf with I, it's hard to see others. Is this all right tonight? And being involved with team sports, they'll tell you that you're supposed to be a team player. But I was a selfish person. I didn't care about other people. I was worried about my stats, and I was worried about how many hits I had, how many stolen bases I had. It was I. I loved the sight of seeing myself on the Jumbotron. I was like, that's me. But while I was engulfed in me, and the preacher in me was trying to come out and turn me away from the world I was living, there was a young man that I had become acquainted with. He was my roommate. His name was Kevin Edwards, and Kevin was a real decent human being. He's a real decent, real good guy, good spirit, just good morals, comes from a good family. And Kevin would see me go to church. As wishy-washy, as backslidden as I was, I still knew I needed to be in church. And Kevin would see me go to church after being all night partying. He would see me go to church. He said, man, I want to go to church with you. I said, man, you should come. Come anytime you want to. I wasn't really pressing him to come. Sunday in and Sunday out, he'll say, man, how was church? I wish I'd have went with you, man, but I couldn't get up. I can vividly remember the time that I told Kevin, I said, man, if you really, really wanted to go to church, you would go. If you really wanted to come, you would come. One day in November, we went to Thanksgiving break. And while we were on this break, getting ready to go back to school, I had my bags packed, ready to go back to begin a new season. And I was excited. It's my sophomore year. I'm just hitting a good stride. And I think I'm going back to campus and everything's going to be great. Before we left for that break, Kevin said, man, I want you to teach me how to play dominoes. I never played before. I want you to teach me how to play dominoes. And I sat at a table and I taught him how to play dominoes. But while I was on this break, I was standing in the kitchen of the house and my phone rang. And I picked up the phone and one of my teammates, Mark, he said, "Hey, Cohen, where are you?" I said, "Man, I'm on my way back, getting ready to head back to school. What's going on?" He said, "Hey, man, I want to give you a heads up." He said, "Kevin had an accident last night. 20 years old, didn't think anything of it." I said, "Is he all right, man? He's a pitcher. Is his arm okay? Is everything fine?" He said, "No, man." He said, "Kevin didn't make it." He said, "Kevin didn't make it." And I fell to the floor right there in that kitchen. And I began to cry and I began to weep. But the cry was more than just a cry for Kevin because he was gone. But the cry was because Kevin was a roommate with a young man that knew the truth. And I never had enough decency to teach him the word of God. That I lived next to him, that I stayed next to him, and I never introduced him to God. Because I was too selfish, I was too stuck on my own self to know that Kevin needed Jesus more than he needed anything. And I walked back to that room, I walked back in that dorm, and I looked at the table, and the dominoes were still there. And I went to the bed, and the bed was empty. And I said, "God, if I ever have a chance, I'm going to witness and reach everybody again." I said, "God, there'll never be a day that I'll cry as loud as I can cry, I'll preach as hard as I can preach, that somebody might know that there's a God that died for them." Can I tell you, we have a mandate from God that we cannot let the city die. We cannot let the city die. You cannot let. So the question is, what would it take? What would it take for you to cry for somebody else? As we come quickly to the music, what would it take? What would it take for you to carry your cross and deny yourself? Can we be honest for just 3 minutes as we stand to our feet? Can we be honest? 97% of our prayers, if we're not careful, all of our prayers will be about us. "God, help me. God, bless me. God, save me. God, do for me. I need this. I need that." But what about your neighbor? There's always a Mary that'll say, "No, they probably know God already. No, they probably have never come to New Life." But you don't know. There's always a Mary to say, "No, that's not our house. We're okay. Everything's good in my house. I have my family. My children are saved. Everybody's okay." But if there's anything that I can teach my unborn son, it would be that God did not save us, son, just to save us. God did not give me the Holy Ghost just to have an elevator mentality that I'm on the elevator going where I'm going and I'm on my way to heaven. And let me close the door as fast as I can so I don't make no additional stops. But what if your neighbor has been waiting on you? What if they've been waiting for you to take the eye out of selfishness? I want to challenge us tonight, God. This is not a Sunday night message. I understand that. But Brother Sutton will not be here forever. That's a fact. He knows that. We all know that. But God wants this church to be here when he's gone. He wants your family to be here. He wants your children to grow here. Can I tell you that if anybody's listening right now online, listen. If you've been far away from this church, you know that this is where you should be. And I want to challenge us tonight, right now. I want you to listen carefully. I understand that we all have prayers for ourselves. But do you understand the travesty of eternal torment of anybody that's come in contact with you and you did not give them an opportunity because we were too selfish to say anything? My dad used to tell me an old story about a preacher and a man that died. This is just a story. He said it was an old preacher, and it was a man that he died. And he died and he went to hell. This is just a story. Listen carefully. And the man was walking around in hell, and he was picking up the heads of people and looking at them and putting them down. Picking up the heads of people and putting them down. The story says that the devil cried out to him, "Hey, what are you doing?" And the man just kept picking up heads and putting them down. Picking up heads and putting them down. He said, "Hey, stop, what are you doing?" He ignored him, kept picking up heads and putting them down. And finally he came to him and he said, "Hey, stop, what are you doing?" And the man looked at him and looked at Satan and said, "I'm looking for the man that told me a lie. I'm looking for the man that didn't tell me the truth. Because if I'm here, he's here too." Can I tell you, this world, this city needs us. This city needs us. Oh, I'll say it again. This city needs you. I don't care if you feel unqualified. I don't care if you feel insufficient. I don't care if you don't think you have ability and you have nothing worth telling anybody. If God has filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and he has saved you by his precious blood, you have more than what they have. In this sanctuary tonight, that a spirit of intercession would flow from New Life, and that there will be a carrying of a burden that will protrude from this sanctuary, that when people find you and see you on the street, that there's an anointing that's emanating from you, and they say and they see something different about you, and you have a boldness in your spirit to stop right there and say, "Let me introduce you to Jesus." I wonder what would happen if we didn't pray for ourselves. Listen, I understand this message is not for everybody in this house, but somebody can be saved from the intercessions of your lips. Somebody, God can speak to them right where they are. He can meet them in their bedroom, because there's a cry that comes as a selflessness that comes from your spirit and say, "I'll run in that house." Can we pray? Can we pray? Listen, I want every family, if you got backslidden family members, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for them. That's it. I want you to begin to intercede. I want you to begin to weep and cry. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Pray for somebody else that they might see Jesus. There's a church that's going to be built right here in Birmingham. There's an expanded kingdom that shall grow, but it's going to come from selfless saints that said, I'll reach everybody I see. I'll reach everybody I see. Oh, that said, cry out. Come on, I need some young people to cry out for your parents that are not here right now. I need you to cry out for every family member that's not here right now, that God will save before time runs out. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. He died that no man would perish, but that all would come to repentance. They need him too. They need him too. He died for them too. Come on, come on, come on. There's a cry that comes from my heart to say I'm broken enough to go past my prayers. I'm broken enough to go past my needs. I'm broken enough to say, God, don't let them die. Come on, that's it, that's it. Come on, there's somebody next to you that they're in the fire and they're in the smog and they're being choked out by the smoke. You ought to reach over your hand and pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them that God might save. Come on, that's it, we'll cry. Come on, that's it, weep. Come on, that's it. Come on, pray for your grandfather. Come on, pray for your grandmother. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. There's no I in Jesus. Come on, send a prayer. Come on, send a prayer. God, speak the word. God, speak the word. God, speak the word. Come on, this is bigger than you. Come on, God has a church. God has a church, and he's waiting for us to reach, to reach, to reach, and to weep and to cry for the city. Come on, there's a stone. There's a stone that's been placed. There's a building that's been erected. There's a sanctuary that's being built. And this earth needs what you have right now. Come on, that's it, pray. Come on, it's not too late. Your prayers can change everything. Your prayers can change everything. Your tears can change everything. Let a spirit of humility, God, fall in this house. That I look past my own flesh. That I look past my own home. That I look past my own life. And I see that there's a world that needs you. Get a miracle in a service like this. You can get a miracle in a service like this. When you pray for somebody else, God begins to move on your behalf. When you reach for somebody else, God will intervene on your behalf. Come on, pray. Come on and say, pray for your neighbor like you would pray for yourself. Pray for your neighbor like you would pray for yourself. This is his commandments, that you love one another. Love thy neighbor as thyself. When you see them, you will see Jesus has been reaching the whole time. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. That's it, new life. Come on, that's it, new life. Come on, this is the place, the pavilion of life, that those that are dying, they come to live, that those that are broken, they come to be healed, that those that are bruised, they come to be restored. Pray. Come on, let this be the last day that you step in this sanctuary and you see the pew empty next to you, and you don't cry out for the broken, and you don't cry out for the broken, and you don't cry out. Pray. Come on, pray for somebody that's in a worse case than you. Pray for somebody that does not have the life you have. Pray for somebody that does not have the family you have. And pray that God will save the children. Come on, your mama can be saved tonight. Come on, God can speak to them in a secret place. God can move them. God can convict them. God can turn their heart around. God can break up the fallow ground. Then they say, I don't know what happened, but I feel like I need to come to church. I don't know what happened, but I feel like I need to come to church. Cry, 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 weep, 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 that they might be saved. Come on, I said, call the name, call the name, call the name, call the name. God, I pray you would touch her right now. I pray that you would touch her right now. Something's happening. Something's happening. Come on, the spirit of intercession is in the house. The spirit of intercession is in the house. We're weeping and mourning, cries of the Lord, that God might heal the land, that God might save the city, that God might save the people. Be selfless. Come on, be selfless. I know you're tempted to pray for yourself, but can you cry for somebody else? Can you reach for somebody else? Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Come on, you don't know what your neighbor's going through. Come on, you don't know what that sister next to you is going through. You don't have to touch her, but you pray, 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 pray. That's it. Lift up your voice. That's it. Lift up your voice. Come on, let there be a cry. Let God hear it. Come on, let God hear it. Come on, let God hear your cry. Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. Let him hear it. Let him hear it, let him hear it. Come on, let him hear it. That's it, let him hear it. Come on, let him hear it, let him hear it. Come on, he wants to hear your voice. He wants to know that you see beyond your own eyelids. He wants to know that you see beyond your own needs. He wants to know, can you care for somebody else? Can you love somebody else? Can you reach for somebody else? Come on, that's it. Let there be a cry. Come on, louder, louder, louder. Louder, louder, louder. Louder, louder, louder. Cry unto the Lord. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Come on, that's it. Something shakes in the atmosphere when you pray for the broken, when you pray for the bruised, when you pray for the captives, when you pray for the weak, when you cry for the hurting. Come on, if you don't know what to pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. When you don't know what to pray, there's spirits of intercession with moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered. And you don't know what you're saying, but God's interceding. The Spirit is pleading. The voice is crying. Come on, something's happening in New Life right now. Come on, something's happening. There's a changing in your heart. There's a turning in your spirit that you'll see that the world needs what you have. Come on, that's it, New Life. That's it, New Life. That's it, New Life. Come on, let God hear it. Come on, let God hear it. Come on, throw your head back and cry aloud. Throw your head back and cry aloud. Come on, let a boldness raise up for your spirit. I'm not letting my family die. I'm not letting them die. I'm not letting them die. That's it right there. Something's happening. Come on, that's it, all the way in the balcony. Come on, pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. God, you can heal in this service. God, you can heal in this service. God, every spirit of cancer, God, we pray that it would be broken in the name of Jesus. That it would be broken in the name of Jesus. God, diabetes be broken in the name of Jesus. God, back, I pray right now, Jesus. This is beyond you. Come on, this is a supernatural intercession. This is bigger than you. This is bigger than you. This is bigger than you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. This is bigger than you right now. Come on, somebody can get the Holy Ghost right now. This is bigger than you. This is bigger than you. This thing is way bigger than me. This thing is way bigger than you. This is about God that went to Calvary. Carry the cross. 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 I know it gets heavy. I know you get tired, but keep on walking. Somebody's watching. Keep on walking. Somebody's watching. Come on, I said, God's got showing up right now. God, we pray that you dispatch your angels, Jesus. God, we pray you would have mercy, Jesus, and dispatch your angels. Come on, they don't live in this city. You call that city. God, send your angels to that city right now. God, send your angels to that house right now. Come on, every broken family, God can put it back together. Come on, every broken home, God can put it back together. Yeah. Come on, this is old-fashioned intercession. Come on, this is old-fashioned Pentecost. Come on, when you linger and you pray and you pray and you pray until God moves on your behalf. Come on, if you can't feel God where you are, you need to move around a little bit. Come move around a little bit and just walk around Zion and walk around Zion and moan in the spirit and pray in the spirit and pray in the spirit and pray in the spirit. Come on, that's it. Close your eyes. Come on, get deep with God. Come on, get deep with God. Come on, you don't have school tomorrow. Get deep with God. Ooh, come on, that's it. Come on, let something build in your spirit. Come on, let the Holy Ghost build in your spirit. Come on, pray for your wife if she's not here. Come on, pray for your husband if he's not here. Come on, pray for your mama if she's not here. Come on, pray for somebody. God, save my children. God, save my children. God, save the children.
Thank you.